All right, welcome back to the Ottawa studios of Inside My Canoe Head. I am your host, Dr. D. Today, we're talking about the role and the value and the greatness of entrepreneurship in disaster and emergency management. So sit back, grab yourself your favorite beverage, my friends. Let's get at her. And thank you very much for taking the time to join us. This week's episode, we are talking about entrepreneurship in emergency management. Remember, here at Inside My Canoe Head, we have a website, www.insidemycanoehead.ca. Everything you need to know on there, how to contact us, how to donate to us, how to support us, how to do all those things are located on that website. You got some ideas, reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the phone, you on the program, or your ideas in your ears. This podcast is dedicated to building resilient societies, creating prepared individuals, and setting the conditions so that you can rock an incredible life in the middle of the chaos that the 2020s represent. So why do we want to talk about entrepreneurship and disaster and emergency management? Number one, I am one within the space, and I've run around quite a many other ones that are doing some pretty incredible work and trying to break down some pretty significant barriers and obstacles that exist in the field. Number one that I bring up all the time whenever I get a chance to speak on panels or on webinars is the fact that there is an ideological frame that emergency management belongs in the public sphere, the public sector, and the nonprofit world. They, by exclusion, leave out the entire corporate sector of society, right? But this has long been grounded in the fear of the profit motive entering disaster and emergency management. But I'm going to tell you right now, the NGO world, the nonprofit, and the non-government organizational world have an ingrained profit motive. The difference is theirs is grounded in salary, travel, and exposure versus the traditional stock price value that you would see in an entrepreneur. And both add value to the field. This is not a discussion of one should replace the other. They're reasonably complementary, but it's just to defeat the idea that somehow being a non-for-profit means that you're better for society or that you can serve society better or you have better motives or better frame or better rationale for it. I mean, that is just a ridiculous assumption, but it is one, an idea that is pervasive within emergency management, and I would argue also as well within the greater public sphere. A lot of grants that come out in emergency management and in other areas of the public require those grants to go to nonprofit organizations. So I've seen this transfer to where an individual realizes that if they want these grants, they're going to have to go that route. They start a not-for-profit with next to no overhead, and then they get this massive kick-butt salary that they give themselves. Now, the key why governments go this route, it's not that NGOs or not-for-profit are any better than anybody else. It's because there is a bit of bring back to the system. I don't want to call it a kickback because it's not that, right? So if you pay a large salary, so the head of a NGO might make, you know, $270,000, $280,000, $300,000 a year, they're going to pay, that's a salary, right? So they're going to pay income tax. So the benefit that comes back to society by giving out a contract to a not-for-profit, because all of the salaries are going to be paid to individuals, they're going to have to declare that income and they're going to pay back money, right? The point being here is when you're an entrepreneur, you don't, for a lot of us, we don't take a salary, right? There is no paycheck in our bottom. We trade time for future value. So we'll do work, sometimes years and years at a time, by drawing little to no salary or dividends or anything out of the company whatsoever. We're just giving, you know, 20, 30 hours a week free of charge to the company in the hopes that that effort will create some form of future value, right? And I've seen this in the not-for-profit world where they build all their costs, including their salaries of their C-suite, full costs are borne by the public sector. And at multiple times, some recent contracts, especially here in Canada from Public Safety Canada, have allowed for administrative costs to be added on top. Now, I've never known an NGO that doesn't bill full cost, right? So not-for-profits will bill full cost. Then they get this administrative dividend, which is nothing more than pure profit motive. And a prime example is, like I said, Public Safety Canada released a recent contract to allow for support to organizations to build a civilian disaster response force in Canada, and they were allowed a 12% administrative top-up on top of all of their charges. Well, there's pure profit, my friends. I've never seen an NGO give the actual, you know, base cost without a markup on it. But that is what it is. So why entrepreneurs? Why would you want to be an entrepreneur in the disaster and emergency management field? I'll give you a prime example. Success, right? We're here. You need to be successful in life. If you just want to la-la land and contribute to the mission, then please go ahead. Have yourself a great time. But success is in the niches. Do you want to accept a salary to do work others want done? Or do you want to do the work that you believe needs to be done and gain the value from that work? That is a very different question. You know, for example, emergency management, like many other fields, is full of generalists, those that believe they hold expertise to advise across the spectrum of emergency management as consultants or bureaucrats. You hear this all the time. I start a consulting agency, say, I call it Bob's Consulting and Emergency Management. We provide guidance across all spectrums, really. So you're a generalist. You can provide advice across all spectrums of it. That's like a healthcare worker saying they can provide broad advice. They probably can, but that advice is going to be very shallow. A nurse cannot be a doctor and vice versa, but they are familiar with each other, but they work exceptionally well in tandem. Another example is, I don't think you can take somebody who is an expert in mitigation and have them become an expert and consider them an expert in recovery. There is simply not enough time in the world to consider yourself an expert in emergency management any more than you can be an expert in healthcare, right? The field is far too broad. So if you're an expert in something, then you are in the niches and success is in the niches, right? A niche is carving out an area of the field that excites you, one that gets your creative juices flowing. You can speak for hours on it. Something where you want to add value, the key is to frame it specifically within a well-defined sandbox. And that's very interesting for you to pursue, right? Because the intent is that over time, you will create personal expertise in this area. Your name will circulate as a known voice in this area. You'll be the one who knows the most, says the most, and publishes the most on a very narrow defined area. Just like a PhD student needs to accomplish before they become a candidate or defend their prospectus. The idea is that you're going to pick the niche. You're going to differentiate. Be the lone voice. If there's someone else there in the space you want to be distinct enough to separate what you do. Don't present yourself as an alternate, as if you're going to win in the niches, there is no alternate. There is nobody else. You are complementary to the remainder of the field. Again, but when issues arise in your field, in your very small niche, you know the most. And the key to being complementary to the remainder of the field is that you don't see yourself as a competition with everybody else who's working in emergency management. There is something in there that gets your juices going. You are just rock solid, excited about the opportunity to work in this part of the field. For example, I'll use nursing. I've got many members of my family who are involved in the nursing field. There are general nurses. Nurses are fabulous. They actually run the hospitals. They run everything in the background. But an emergency room nurse cannot do an ICU nurse job. An ICU nurse job is not a mental health nurse. You see, there are very specialties within it, right? An orthopedic surgeon is not a psychiatrist, but could probably have a general mental health conversation with a patient. You see the difference. It's about carving out the niche. Now, how you carve that niche, how you define that niche is completely up to you. And I'm going to give you a prime example. When I entered the space about a decade ago, I knew that preparedness was my thing, right? Without a doubt, preparedness is everything that I'm about. I believe that if an individual adopts a prepared life, right, they take responsibility for their outcomes, they adopt a prepared life, that they alone will be able to navigate any exogenous shock that the world throws at them. And I also believed that the ridiculous information that the public sector was trying to tell people was not based on evidence. It isn't what we know is correlated to better positive post-event outcomes. And so I saw a space where I could get into a very narrowly defined sandbox, ideal with individual household and small organizational resilience and preparedness. That's it. I can talk about a whole bunch of other issues in emergency management. I can contribute to ideas in that, but there are very few, and I will argue an exceptionally few voices within household and small organizational preparedness and resilience that that know more about it, talk more about it, or publish more about it than I do. So I've carved out the niche, and I continue to stay within my niche. Now, periodically, I jump out, offer some commentary and some other frame, fair enough, right? But it's about something that you truly enjoy, something that you're passionate about. If you think about it right now, even if you're not in the field of emergency management and you're listening to this podcast, just think about it for a second. And you want to think about entrepreneurship. Do you want to start something that challenges a big player, right? Those are pretty big, bold things. When you go against somebody who has entrenched in the business or who has significant financial and capital assets behind them, you have a very different struggle. You're in a very disadvantageous position to begin your journey. However, if you carve out a niche, and for example, one is there's one company that I highlight that Pegasus, that does the use of drone technology to map wildfires at night using thermal imaging, right? They're not the only ones in that space, but they're the active one in that space, right? And they're speaking to Canada, and they've demonstrated their value in it, right? So now what they can do is provide in the downtime at the night when the crews are resting and they're not fighting the fires, the drones are out all night mapping the fires so that the fire planners in the overnight hour can build an incredibly robust attack plan. So when the firefighters get up in the morning, grab their gear, the attack plan is already figured out. It's already done for them based upon immediate minute-to-minute updates as to what the fire is doing. And a lot of the times with thermal imagery, the smoke is irrelevant, right? The smoke doesn't matter. Well, right now, a lot of the photography that's used, the smoke, you know, it's very difficult at night with smoke, et cetera, to determine where the fire is, what the fire behavior is, but mapping it with thermal imagery is incredible. There's somebody who's not trying to do drone technology to maybe in the future, but not right now, map personal pattern or behavior or flood mapping or anything like that. They've picked a very small niche. The idea is you're going to pick a niche, you're going to find your expertise in it and go on. Now, don't confuse experience with expertise. This happens a great deal. 30 years in a field, maybe 1 year repeated 30 times. And I run into people all the time in the emergency management field that look at me and said, well, you're a veteran. I served 28 years in the Army and I'm in year 10 in the emergency management field. And people say, well, I've been in emergency management 30 years. That's great. And you probably know a great deal. But you're calling yourself a generalist, right? You're an emergency management professional. That's great. You know a lot about a lot of things, but you are very shallow. What is the one thing that I could call you up on stage and right now you could give a detailed, accurate presentation on a very specific topic with some key takeaways for leadership? What is that? That's the idea. It's almost like your 30-second elevator pitch, but a little bit different. So understanding that you want to be an entrepreneur, let's take that journey together, okay? Now you have to find a label. And this next part of the podcast is going to be the how problem, right? We decided what you want to do. You figured out what your niche is. You understand that you have to be very, very particular about the sandbox. You have to carve it out specifically. Now, time in the future, that sandbox may actually expand, but right now you're going to define a very well small parameter of area where you've decided this is, you know, you can't wait to swing your legs out of bed in the morning to get after this, right? What are you going to do? So how do you create this world? Well, first, you have to find a label. You have to create a company, a website, and social media accounts. What I recommend to everybody is that you go out and you've got to make a decision. You've got two options, really. You are the brand or your name is the brand. For example, my name is Dr. D. Jeff. I own a company called Preparedness Labs Incorporated, right? Those are two separate brands. I'm building them both. I've decided to go down both routes. I would recommend that you choose one. Pick a name, a label, a company, a website, and social media accounts. And the key right now is, with the plethora of people on social media, you have a window. You've got to pick a company name that should match your wonderful social media accounts and all of your accounts, etc. It should just flow naturally. So when I talk about Preparedness Labs Incorporated, I can go to literally any social media account and there I am. I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook, I'm everywhere called the same thing, Preparedness Labs, in some form or another because of the nature of the length of the names that you're allowed on some social media. But if you Google Preparedness Labs, there I am on any social media account. That's the point, right? You pick a name and you get out there, right? So once you decide whether you're the brand or the field or both, I wouldn't challenge that, then marketing. This is all about marketing. The world needs to know you're there. And I had this debate with somebody, and I have a PhD. I am an associate faculty. I'm a contract instructor, and I don't recommend publishing in journals. And it's funny because I am the current editor of an academic journal, and I don't recommend it as the first thing. If you are trying to expose yourself to the masses, where are they? Well, they're all on LinkedIn. Let's be clear. All of the key voices within your field that you want to penetrate and the field in which you want to be considered a niche expert, they're all on LinkedIn and they're members of groups. So if you put together a well-crafted post that challenges paradigms, status quo, it's innovative and it's disruptive, and you put that on a LinkedIn group, you will get exponentially greater exposure than you ever will publishing an academic article. If that's your gig, go do it later, because in reality, not many people care. And again, I'm an editor of a publication, and I say the same thing. So what I tell people is I value more from a submission perspective your opinion article. I want an opinion article. I want a challenging article. I want somebody to devolve right into it. I want somebody to fight, argue, kick the stones around. The point is here, you need to publish and get out and known. You need to be innovative, disruptive, but professional and truthful, right? It doesn't take more than 20 seconds to get blocked. I'll give you a prime example. When I started my social media campaign about three and a half years ago on the new company that I started, Preparedness Labs Incorporated, I started something that I thought was cool and innovative, but it ended up getting me blocked by quite a key number of people online. I started a daily preparedness tips, and I was putting it out on everything, and I was hashtagging EMG Twitter, right? I didn't really understand the exposure and the purpose of EMG Twitter, and quite a number of important voices on that have subsequently blocked me because I've been using EMG Twitter for that ridiculous little exercise. Well, we all learn lessons. I stopped when a very good friend gave me a piece of advice and told me that's probably not the strategy that's going to gain you traction. So I stopped, but these people still have me blocked. It is what it is. There's not too much I can do about that. But the point is that you've got to put together thoughtful, challenging ideas within the space, right? You have to offer something in the space, and you have to offer a product for sale, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you're here to make money. You're an unapologetic capitalist who wants to make money while serving the sector. No different than the salaried emergency management employee in the city of Ottawa where I live, wants to help out the city of Ottawa, but is also quite happy to get a salary for it. An entrepreneur is no different. You just have a product or service. And again, when you come out of the gate, it's very difficult to say to somebody, "Hi, my name is Jeff. I have this great consultancy that I just started. Please pay me $500 a day to talk to you about this sandbox." Well, it's going to take some time and effort and some patience to build up your recognition as an expert in that field. Mine has been about 3 years. 3 years ago, when I started the public face of this corporation, I've been in emergency management preparedness side for over a decade. But about 3 years ago, I started the public face of this. Over 3 years, I now get invited to national webinars, right? I get invited to be members of governing bodies. Like, for example, I'm on the governing body of the Canadian Emergency Preparedness and Climate Adaptation Conference that's happening here in the city of Ottawa in September, Canada's largest conference about the state of preparedness and climate in Canada. Very, very important conference. I got offered the role to be one of 40 or 50 people that were guiding the event planners on how to put this thing together across the entire country. I was invited to be a panelist on Demvolution, the first issue of it that came out with the Canadian Journal of Emergency Management and Avert Magazine putting together a panel of people. I had the privilege to join some pretty incredible human beings and have a couple hour a little over an hour discussion about ideas in emergency management. That took me 3 years to get there, right? The point being is you put out regular content that is of value and people see value in it and they start to see it. In the interim, you have to be able to pay the bills, so you have to be offering something, right? So now, however you decide to do that, what does your target audience use? Now, I am a huge fan of Alex Hormozi's $100 million offers and $100 million leads. I'm actually looking at the two books right now. You can Google them. They are literally gems. If you have no idea how to create an entrepreneurial product to sell to somebody and then how to sell it to them, you read these two books. They're written to about a grade five level, which is perfect because they're amazing, easy to use. Listen, find the two books. And if you don't want to spend any money, Alex Hormozi has said all along, every issue is available free of charge as an audiobook. Go to his acquisition.com website. And you can find the links to download all of his material for free, or you can buy the books, whatever, if you don't want to spend any money. But it basically tells you, hey, listen, I want to create a product that I can sell to the world of emergency management or about the world of emergency management within the sandbox expertise that I've carved out. For example, I had the privilege of meeting Rebecca Innes. She runs a consulting company out of Canmore, Alberta, and she is probably the best expert I'm aware of that talks about getting grants and local First Nation bands access to government funding to build their preparedness and their resilience. Literally the greatest expert I know on that field, right? She has a company. She's brilliant. She puts this out there. She has a product available. She has a strategy. She has a resilience plan that communities can adopt to, sign up with her, and she's built this thing. So she's selling a product and using her expertise as leverage. It's brilliant. It's a perfect idea. Go visit her website at Rebecca Innes Consulting. The concept in entrepreneurship is always simple. You have to be solving a problem society has. If you want to make money at it, if you just want to be a voice, then get yourself a podcast like this and have at her. But if you want to have a business and be a true entrepreneur, you have to solve a problem society has, right? So you have to look at the disaster and emergency management space. Now, you have to design what is the problem you're trying to solve and who are you trying to solve it for? It's actually a very simple equation, and I'll read this out to you. I'm opening my book right now because it's a very simple equation. It says, we do X, which is your offer, for Y, your target market, so that they can, whatever their dream outcome is, without X, pain, without suffering it, right? So we do preparedness education for middle-class families so they can pursue their dreams without losing, you know, without being victims of disasters. That's a really bad one. But you know what I mean? That's what you're doing in entrepreneurship in the disaster and management field. Answer that question. We do X for Y so that they can Z without W. Full stop. This is a very, very simple set of parameters. You figure out what it is. Now, how do you do that? There are companies out there that build 72-hour kits. There are companies out there that build downloadable PDF form filler strategies. There's companies like mine that have written, we've written a couple of books about emergency preparedness. We have a video course online at preparednesslabs.ca, charge $129 Canadian and a lot less American to take a 2-hour video tutorial on how to adopt a prepared life with an accompanying workbook that walks you through. That's something anybody can do, right? You can learn how to create that. You can create something of value. And then you get out there and get after it and you market it. And that's how you can decide whether you want to do a physical product, a digital product, marketing, whether you want to be a speaker, an invited guest. Do you want to be a consultant, a coach, a mentor? There are all kinds of things out there within the emergency management space. You look at your carved out piece of ground that you want to occupy, the sandbox that you've defined. You look at the problems that are in there. You figure out a way to address those problems. You create an incredible offer. And as Alex Hormozi says, how to make offers so good, people feel stupid saying no, right? They just feel dumb not giving you their money, right? That's the idea of entrepreneurship, because you're making a valid offer that is that good. Can't be junk, because the first few people will fall for it and they'll slam the living crap out of you and you'll be sent packing, as you should be. But if you create an incredibly valuable offer, people will pay for it. Emergency management has a huge space for entrepreneurs, for people who are thinking about going independent. Now, I have all the respect in the world for people who want to be a public sector servant, want to work for an NGO. They're happy being a salaried employee. If you're not one of them, if you want to carve your own path, if you want to figure out a way that you might just in 5 years from now turn this thing to a 6- and 7-figure business, entrepreneurship is the only way to do that. You are not going to get a $7 million salary from an NGO in the emergency management space, but you can most certainly generate $7 million worth of revenue in emergency management in 1 year. The point being is if entrepreneurship is your gig and you think you're thinking about it, emergency management has tons of space for it. Just remember, success is in the niches. It's not in the generalist. If you want to be a generalist, and I'm an emergency manager, a specialist that can help you across all the spectrums, then you can have the day at that. But you are going to be necessarily shallow and your depth is going to be challenged. Pick a niche, be the expert, be the voice, and chase your dreams. And thank you very much for taking the time to listen to us here at Inside Mike and Newhead. If you have any feedback, drop over to our website, www.insidemikeandnewhead.ca. There's a little button there where you can send me an email at my business address. You can tell us anything you want, good, bad, or indifferent. We appreciate all the feedback. I ask you for one favor, and that is to, if you like the podcast, to share it with a friend, tell a friend about it, get the voices out there. I make no money off the podcast and I charge no money for anybody to listen to it. This is our gift back to society, our free way of offering value to people to increase preparedness, to increase resilience, so that as the 2020s become more and more disruptive, you can chase your dreams, reach all those incredible goals you want, and rock an incredible life. Thank you very much for joining us. Take care. Stay safe.